Hi there.
I said in aid of or a friend of St Catherine's Hospice, but it's a little more than that, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately, because I found out 2 or 3 months ago that I've got terminal brain cancer, having just had the all clear from triple negative breast cancer. So I had gone, had a very quick flip around from thinking I'd had an all clear after a very tricky battle with cancer and chemotherapy to finding out that actually things weren't looking quite as good as we hoped, and had to do a very rethink about life and everything.
It's one of those things you just said. One of those things you've just said there is a case of there's nothing anybody can say in that at all, because let's rewind a bit. Okay, mm-hmm. You said you had breast cancer. How long had that been going on for?
So I had the diagnosis in September 24. So again, that came very much out of the blue. I didn't have what I thought were classic breast cancer symptoms. So I'd sort of ignored it. I'd been travelling a lot. And then I thought, I can't ignore it anymore. I have to go and get this checked out, thinking it was going to be just a little infection or something. And then found out that it was actually the kind of worst type of breast cancer you can have, which is triple negative. It was already stage 3 or 4 by then, and I was warned it was going to be a tricky battle. So
wasn't it a relief to get the all clear? Surely it must have been quite
a huge relief at the end, because it had already spread to the lymph nodes and the skin and stuff. So the fact that after the mastectomy they'd said, you've had a pathological complete response, but you're going to do the radiotherapy anyway because it's kind of belt and braces.
That's the mop-up bit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the mop-up bit, just to kind of make sure nothing nasty comes back. You know, I really was thinking, okay, amazing, that's been tough, but I've come through it. So to then find out that you haven't, because the thing is, the drugs I was taking are fantastic, and they really were, but my cancer was very responsive to them. They don't cross the brain-blood barrier.
Yeah.
So whilst it was mopping up the rest of my body, unfortunately, it was taking hold in my brain. And as I was having no physical symptoms, it just wasn't picked up on until it was, well, by the time it goes into your brain, it's too late anyway.
But, I mean, you got the all clear. You got the all clear from the breast cancer. How long behind that did this new diagnosis come?
Only about 3 or 4 weeks, because I recovered from the mastectomy, did the breast radiotherapy, and it was towards the end of that, which is a 2-week course.
Mm.
I was describing some of my symptoms that I was feeling, and she was like, no, that's not right. You shouldn't be feeling that weird that often. And I was sent to the A&E immediately, and it was that day.
Yeah.
This has gone into your brain. And I got a very, very quick response from my team and had MRIs. So within 2 days after that, I knew that what I was facing. So it was quick. And the average for people to get a transfer like I have is usually about 3 or 4 years. And I had about 3 or 4 weeks. So it was a huge turnaround. And obviously I've got 4 children. So
that's
a lot for them to take on board too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to it. It leaves one speechless as to knowing quite what to say to something like that, other than how on earth do you deal with that?
It was just a huge sort of shock, really. And it was hard telling people, because everybody was so excited that everything seemed to be going so well, and then to take the wind out of their sails was hard. But it just makes you, and I've always lived life like you've got to live for the moment, because you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
And I think you'll have seen from the press release, my friend Lauren, only a couple of weeks after I was diagnosed, lost her husband completely unexpectedly overnight to a massive heart attack. And again, you know, there was no warning for that. So the fact that I've actually got some time and space to get my affairs in order, which I have done, and to spend with the people I love, I feel like I've got a real bonus. And it makes you realise that everything's relative. You know, she's been through was this massive, massive shock. Whereas at least we've had time to come to terms with what's going on and do some good stuff.
Neither is a good outcome, whichever way you want to look at that and however you want to describe that.
And we're all going to go one day.
I seriously, seriously admire what you're saying and your upbeatness about all of this, but I just wonder how on earth you actually deal with it in yourself. And the question I've got to ask in all of this is, have they given you a prognosis of how long you've got?
Well, when they first found it in my brain, the oncologist said, look, you have a lot of cancer in your brain. And I have to be honest, I don't know what this is going to mean in terms of a prognosis. She said it could be days, because if we can't get the swelling down, you could have an aneurysm or a stroke. It might be weeks, or it might be months, or you might be an outlier and last a year. But, and she said, your cancer has been very receptive to treatment up to now, but we are going to have to use different treatment to get what's in your brain, because it's sort of changed the type of cancer, sort of even though it's still a breast cancer that's in my brain, it's the type of treatment has to change because of the way the brain works. So, I mean, where we are now, which is sort of 3 months on, I am feeling fairly stable, although I am having some quite big dizzy spells again. So we've got to get to the bottom of why that's happening, because the MRI looked like everything was going really positively. So why that's showing that and I'm feeling so odd again is a bit odd. So I've got three different MRIs and meetings with physicians and things next week, which will hopefully give us a bit more of a picture, and then we'll be able to see what treatment I can have next, if any, because I can't have the whole brain radiotherapy again.
I mean, listening to you talking, I'm guessing this has changed the way you think about all sorts of things quite a lot, hasn't it? From, you know, from before you had an original diagnosis of cancer, because the word cancer to anybody is a terrifying thing. But before that, I know you successfully were running a business. You no longer do that. But I'm looking at a picture of you now on your press release as a happy, smiling person who, if you didn't know, you'd think, yeah, looks perfectly normal, quite happy. But it's changed the way
apart
you think,
from the no hair
it?
Now.
Well, no, for some people, that's a fashion statement. You see.
Well, I know that is true, I know. Some people do look at me and go, you look... I've got the blue badge for my car now, just because it's quite useful to be close to where I'm going sometimes.
Yeah, very handy.
And I got out of the car today and I thought people were looking at me going, you look all right, apart from the no hair. And I was like, well, actually, not that I say anything, but
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing, as I say, the whole thing would have changed your outlook on things anyway. I mean, I know we were talking before and you said, you've got this kind of to-do attitude, but has this sort of accelerated that at all?
Yes and no, really. I think I've always been that kind of can-do, make the best of everything type outlook. It's definitely made me speed up doing a few things. Like, I kind of dragged all I didn't drag them, they were very happy to come, but dragged all my family over to Dubai and said, right, come on, let's go and have 8 days while I'm well enough to do this.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have done that otherwise. So, I mean, yes and no. And it's definitely made me connect up with a load of people that I've been meaning to for ages, and they've all been very keen to come and see me. So I think it makes you suddenly think, hang on a minute, you know, we shouldn't be letting this stuff go past while we're all working. We need to be doing this all the time anyway, because we just don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
So I think it's changed me in that sense, but I don't think it's changed me fundamentally as a person. I think it's one in 2 to 3 of us will get cancer at some point. And things are changing all the time, and I've been amazingly well supported. And I feel very lucky that I've had the support and love that I have. I've had very few negative... Well, none. I can't think of any negative nastiness from any of the health professionals or friends. So I feel quite blessed, that I should be surrounded by so much love.
It inspires the best in lots and lots of people, you know, with this sort of thing. And you've you've got a contact, obviously, now with St. Catherine's Hospice, or are looking to raise some money for the hospice. I mean, and it's a hairdressers that are going to be doing a raffle for you, aren't they?
Yeah, so I've actually got two different raffles. They're the same prizes in both raffles, as in not you're not competing for the same prize, but they're duplicate prizes.
Oh, right.
So I've got two sets of prizes.
Yeah.
So one's a purely online raffle, because I wanted to just reach out to my kind of wider network and people could share it online, and you didn't need to be local to buy a ticket. So that's actually been running for about a month, but it finishes on the same day as the other one.
Yeah.
And then, yes, Lauren and Privé and Frank have very kindly offered to run the raffle in the salon in Leatherhead as well. So
they're hairdressers, aren't they?
The hairdressers, they're called Privé, P-R-I-V-E. And they've run lots of successful raffles in the past for different organisations that they care about, and they were really insistent that even with Paul's passing that they should do this, because they know that that's what everybody wanted. So I'm really, really grateful for them to do this on top of all the stuff they're dealing with. But so people can go in there and buy a physical ticket, or they can even use their card and they've got cash to put in the pot to, you know, so it's super easy for people if they're a Netherhead to go and get a ticket. And then they've got a good footfall of customers, obviously. So
okay.
I'm hoping that that's going to raise a load too. So
always good to raise money for St Catherine's Hospice, because the hospices are seriously underfunded at state level.
Massively,
as you say. And without the support of people like yourself and others who decide they would like to do something for the hospices, because I think for the majority of us, at some point in our life, we're going to need those services. And really do need the, you know, all the support they can get. They do absolutely wonderful work. So you said there are two raffles going on. One is online.
Yeah.
How? What's the address for that, that anybody wanting to go buy a ticket can do?
So it's run by an organisation called Raffle, RAFFALL. And if you search for Padstow and under kind of the travel section, you should find it. It's called like Luxury Week in Padstow.
Is that one of the prizes by chance?
It is, yes.
Wow.
It is. So I'm very, very lucky.
Come on, big it up now. Big it up. What are the prizes?
Beautiful, beautiful harbourside two-bedroom flat on Padstow with just the most incredible views. It's literally overlooking the harbour, overlooking the estuary. So the prizes for both raffles are a week in there. You get free parking, which is like hen's teeth in Padstow.
Also, yeah, that's gold dust.
And I've put in a £100 voucher for Rick Stein, so you can use that at any of these.
I wondered if he'd be coming into it.
Yeah, well, he's the kind of grandmaster of Padstow, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
So many lovely choices of things you could do with that money. You know, they've got cafes and they've got pubs and...
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world, actually. I've been many times. It's lovely.
And there's some gin and Cornish goodies. So that's the kind of main prize in both raffles. It just needs to be taken kind of out of season sort of thing. So it's got to be used by, I think it's April or something.
Yeah.
We'll always try and be flexible. And then, so that's the first prize. The second prize is a £100 Liberty voucher that can be spent in Liberty or online.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also a Fortnum & Mason's hamper that goes with that. And then the third prize in each raffle is a £50 Liberty voucher and a beauty hamper.
This is a posh raffle in a very, very good cause, isn't it?
Absolutely, because, you know, as you said, we all should be talking about what hospices do. And I have to say, I was immediately referred there when they found out what was going on, because they knew I was going to need palliative support and end-of-life care. And they were just so amazing from day one. And I had no idea of all the extended services they do. My naivety, I just thought, was where somebody old went to die when they didn't want to be a...
I think that's most people's picture of it, but it's far more than that, isn't it?
It's so much more than that. And they've got 24 rooms there.
Yeah.
And because of the chronic underfunding, they need sustainable funding. They can only use 12 of them. So that's half of their capacity that they're not able to use in this beautiful...
That is absolutely disgraceful, isn't it?
It is, because how many people could they be helping that they're not able to help at the moment? They've had to cut back all their services.
Yeah.
Last year, I think they said that to make 40 people redundant, which really affects what they can do. They're not able to do respite care, which they used to. So there's a huge opportunity to really increase the amount of services they can offer.
Mm.
The people are delightful and absolutely trained in dealing with kind of people like me in my situation, so they really know what they're doing. And for me, it was just an absolute no-brainer. I would so much rather be there than, you know, fading away at home watched by my children, or in a hospital in a ward with elderly people kind of wailing, or, you know, it's just, it was, you walked in there and you felt, oh, what a beautiful, lovely place full of lovely people. So, you know, I just was like, I've got to do what I can to help these people.
It's a truly shocking state of affairs. I mean, I've spoken to the hospices here and in other places around the local area, and they're all facing the same issues. And it always horrifies me when I see, you know, various people talking about funding for this, funding for that, and You have to question the judgment of some people, but that's a political thing that I'm not going to go into now, except to say that I think it's scandalous.
And we could be doing so much more.
For yes.
We're all happy. We've all been debating at end of, you know, if you've got a terminal illness, whether you should be able to take your own life and things.
Yeah.
And quite rightly, people have been questioning whether, you know, the vulnerable are properly protected. Well, let's make sure everybody has sufficient choices to make the right choice for them. And then we won't need to worry so much about people being
I think that's,
you know, pushed into the wrong choice.
A seriously good point, and one that you know, more should be made of. Right, this the raffles. So anybody wanting to go online, look up raffle, R-A-F-F-A-L, and Padstow Travel.
A-double-L.
It's a double L. It's a double F and a double L. Not only spelling is, raffle differently, but putting extra letters in there. So it's raffle, R-A-F-F-A-L, Padstow Travel. And anybody wanting to buy in person can go to Privé Hair Salon in Leatherhead. Can these be bought online via them or on the phone via the hairdressers, or have you got to actually physically go in there?
No, I do think you've got to go physically in there, because I think you need to either hand over cash or card.
Okay.
And then so if you can't physically get there, I think raffle is the best one.
Yeah. Okay.
To do there.
Okay, so it's worth a trip to Leatherhead to go get your tickets just for the one thing, for in aid of St Catherine's Hospice, and that. Wendy, I think you're an inspiration to talk to.
oh, thank you, Tim. That's very kind.
I have absolutely no idea what really to say to a lot of what you've said there, except I wish you all the very best with
thank
this.
You.
And hopefully between now and whenever they find some sort of cure, I'll keep my fingers crossed for that. Hope the raffle goes well. For now, Wendy Reed, thank you very much for talking to me.
No, lovely to chat to you. Thank you again for
pleasure.
You know, spending time doing this. Yep.